Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome back. Happy Wednesday. It's Rob, me, Suk, him.
Suh.
Suh.
I beat you to it.
Hey, coming up here, I've got a couple of Muy Bueno follow-ups.
Okay.
To our In the News segment there.
Ooh.
Some person said, look up Denver airport conspiracies. Oh, baby.
Really?
We've killed a club segment for tonight.
Now,
on that.
Are these real conspiracies? Because isn't the whole like Denver airport renovation thing like they're buying into it? If you went to the airport when they were renovating it, they were like, go to denverairport.com and there's lizard people and this and that.
Yeah. Yeah. They fuel them. They fuel these.
Okay. I had no idea. I lived
it's
there.
A whole thing.
I had no idea the airport had... What airport has conspiracy theories? What?
Denver. And like, we're going to talk about it in the club tonight.
Because we just redid our terminal there here at the Portland one. Mike was all over that. Airport Mike. That thing's supposed to be lovely. Now, are there conspiracies tied to that? Is there like a child sex ring happening in the basement?
Probably.
Wow. I knew it.
Odds are. I've been in that new wing and it's wonderful.
I have not.
Absolutely delightful.
I haven't flown anywhere.
But it looks like the rest of the airport. Okay, so here's the other thing. Somebody pointed out correctly, because I went and looked it up in my files,
okay,
which is internet, that Keep Austin Weird started before Keep Portland Weird.
Get right the hell out of town. I always thought that was our thing.
No, Jim.
Now do we have to apologize?
I think you do, yes. I think you owe them an apology.
I'm sorry, Austin.
Live on the air.
I thought they stole it from us.
Slogan?
Now, did we steal it directly from them, or is it just like one of those like unintentional things?
No, directly stolen.
Hmm.
It was stolen by Terry Currier, who is the Music Millennium guy.
Okay.
You see him. He's a Portlander. See him on the news and stuff. He stole it from Keep Austin Weird.
Oh, okay.
The slogan was created with the intention of supporting local businesses and small business owners. It was based on the Keep Austin Weird organization and slogan in Austin and was brought to Portland in 2003 by Music Millennium owner Terry Currier after he learned of the movement in Austin.
Now I feel kind of bad that that's a thing because, you know, it's like finding out that Rip City, that the Shawns stole it from like San Antonio. You can't do that.
Right. Well, and we were supposed to be named Boston. Right?
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
I do remember that whole thing.
Keep Boston Weird.
I can't approve of this.
But anyway, Keep Austin Weird is the slogan adopted by the Austin Independent Business Alliance to promote small businesses in Austin. It was intended to promote local businesses, blah, 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 blue, 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 hip, hip, hip. And it started in, it doesn't say what year it started.
All right.
But it was before Terry.
Either way, it's not ours, so maybe we should find something else.
Well, I don't like the slogan anyway.
All right.
Because I don't like to keep it weird.
Well, I don't mind the whole local thing.
I mean, we are a little weird, but...
What I don't like is
when
people use that to not grow and develop. This idea that we're some small, quaint little town and no one's coming here.
Right.
Yes, they are coming, and you keeping it small and weird isn't stopping it. All it is making a pain in the ass for the rest of us that live here. So let's build some damn roads, a new bridge, and start getting progressive.
Okay, so I think we're kind of saying the same things.
Yes.
That, it's weird, but who, you know, let's
grow.
Let's pick it up a bit.
There you go. Let's pick up the slack. Come on.
Sen. let's see, Sankarshan Das has written in 2015 a song called Talking Keep Austin Weird, which takes the listeners back to 1969 when, as a popular singer on the University of Texas, he helped to make it cool to be weird in Austin by his regular, well-attended daily free concerts at the George Washington statue on the South Mall of the University of Texas campus.
Okay.
So there are the origins.
I did not know that.
And now Louisville does it. So Portland adopted it in 2003. Louisville, there's a Keep Louisville Weird. That was in 2005. And there's another city in 2013 that piled on, and it's Indianapolis.
What?
And they want to be
I'm
weird.
I'm here to tell you, having been to Indianapolis, there's nothing weird about Indianapolis. Like, if you want to, like, I get the others, like, you kind of got the liberal thing going on, and you're different, Austin, different than the rest of Texas. I can assure you that there's nothing weird going on in Indianapolis.
Unless you're saying that liberals are weird, Sook?
Unless you consider wearing a lot of American flag gear weird. Indianapolis is not weird in any shape or form. Stop that.
All right, coming up this hour, what else do we have here, Jace? Man, the NFL is evolving, so I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
It's going
to
be exciting.
I don't know what they're evolving to, but
trust me, I'm
listening.
It'll get your sports pants tight.
Sorry, I was watching the start of the World Series. Well, game two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I got caught up in the lineup, even though I don't know why, because it's the exact same lineup they had yesterday.
Football is coming to Central Oregon. Tell you about that.
Okay. The NFL or the XFL. You know, The Rock is starting the XFL again.
Yeah, he sure is.
Yeah.
And how much did Odell Beckham Jr. get at LSU?
I have seen some of the details about this.
Now, it's actually not as it seems. Like, you may read, and we'll talk about this in the Hot 5, like LSU self-imposed penalties and stuff, and a lot of it has to do with Odell Beckham, and you may think, well, when Odell played there, he got a bunch of money. It pertains to when Odell Beckham passed out money to players after they beat Clemson in the title game.
And I get that that's the main one, but there, if you dig a little deeper, there's way, way bigger way fish that they have to fry.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in boosters and stolen charity money and kids' hospitals. And
right, but I'm just talking about Odell Beckham.
Yeah, there's
and
video.
Why
I mean,
he's...
There's video of it. He's handing out money.
Yeah, $2,000in C-notes, bro. Hey, and they earned it.
On camera.
Yeah, he didn't care. Next what does
time,
he care?
Maybe next time, don't do that.
So those items are all coming up, guys. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
You know, I hope we elect to kick ass is what I hope we do.
Number five.
Game two, World Series.
Begins now. It already has begun.
It has begun.
We got a 2-2 count already.
2-2.
After you poo-pooed all over the series.
The era has become.
And you wrote off the Rays because they're down 1-0.
Yes, I hate the Rays now. They can't hit. They won't. They'll get shut out tonight.
This is the exact same thing that you were bitching about during games, what, 4-6?
Of what?
In the ALCS.
What?
Yeah, you still
here. Oh, yeah, exactly.
You were bitching so much about the Rays lineup.
That's right.
Against the Astros. And yet they're here.
Well, they damn near blew it. They damn near blew
so
a 3-0
lead.
The only team that's ever done that is the crappy-ass Yankees.
Yes.
Ever. And they almost did it.
That's hurtful.
The Dodgers did almost. Well, they were down 3-1, right?
Yes.
So tonight it's Gonsolin against Snell.
By the way, what's up with Gonsolin's jersey? He's got like Kool-Aid all over it. It's orange. What is happening there?
He's probably been drinking Kool-Aid.
He looks just like a swarthy individual.
Yeah, he's got the hair and the beard.
Yeah.
That's the look now. Anyway, one out in the top of the first. Stupid Rays still can't hit.
I love your irrational anger at the Rays lineup.
They're terrible.
They're in the World Series.
They swing and miss at everything. Yeah, thanks to their bullpen. Seahawks, one of a few teams pushing to sign free agent receiver Antonio Brown. He'll be off suspension after week 8. That is 2 weeks if you're counting at home.
I guess Dane Russ has a relationship with him and wants to kick the tires on.
Yeah,
that.
But don't forget about Geno Smith.
Yeah, someone will give him a shot. I mean, it's not going to be for a bunch of money. It's going to be on a proven deal. But if Antonio Brown wants to play and he's no longer suspended, someone out there will give him an opportunity. I say, why not Seattle?
Do you care to throw out what Brandon Lau's postseason batting average is?
I'm guessing it's not very good.
It's 107.
They just showed it. It's 107. 107.
It's not robust.
According to Adam Schefter, other teams are interested, as you mentioned. The jockeying for position will begin now so that he can play right away when he's eligible in Week 8. But it does seem like Geno Smith and Russell Wilson, they're saying, worked out with him in the offseason. They've been keeping in touch with him. So maybe the Seahawks will sign Antonio Brown.
Remember, the Buccaneers, or at least Tom Brady, wanted to, and then Bruce Arians looked at it in the offseason and went, yeah, no, not happening.
Self-imposed penalties by LSU football. They have docked themselves 8 scholarships for a year for 2 years, and they have banned Odell Beckham Jr. for 2 years from campus.
Yeah, they're trying to do the fall on the sword. They're saying that they feel that this is proper punishment and are hoping that the NCAA leaves them alone. But the NCAA is digging around. You know, they've got, was it Will Wade, their basketball coach?
Yes.
They've got him supposedly proof of paying 11 student athletes, potentially. And they've got the football team, one particular booster. They said they have proof of him giving a father to one of their players a $180,000 a year no-show job and funneling over $500,000 from a hospital foundation and giving some of that money to the parents of two former players.
I take back everything I said about the Rays. Brandon Lau just went yard.
Oh, look at this.
So now he's hitting 111.
By the way, that guy that was doing that, the booster, he's now serving 33 months in federal prison. LSU has much bigger problems.
For what?
Stealing money from a hospital foundation to give to LSU players and parents.
And they think 8 scholarships is going to do it?
Yes. Yes.
God.
And banning Odell Beckham. So, I mean, honestly, this could be a bad situation where LSU finds themselves on the wrong end of a USC type of punishment.
Pelicans have a new coach, and it's an old coach, Stan Van Gundy. He has been with 3 other teams, Miami, Orlando, and Detroit. He went 48-43 in the playoffs, 3 conference finals, and 1 NBA finals appearance in 12 seasons as a head coach.
It was also bagged right before the playoffs, so Pat Riley could come in and win a title with the Heat.
See, a good little hire here? I don't know.
A lot of people like the Van Gundy brothers.
Good coach.
I think they're pretty smart guys.
Jeff Van Gundy's still sitting on the sideline.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I thought he was good when he was out there. But
well, and he's been rumored. I mean, all these jobs are opened up. I mean, you were hearing both the Van Gundy brothers. Again, look at this. Why
maybe
is
they
his
can be co-coaches.
Orange? What is that?
Wait, what? Who?
The Dodgers. Gonsolin? Yeah, Gonsolin.
It's clearly pine tar.
Number orange?
Throw him out of the game.
His entire sleeve is orange. And I don't understand his pitching arm. It's throwing me for a loop. I can't focus.
I still haven't seen it. Every time I look up and you say that, they're not showing his arm.
Las Vegas Raiders place offensive lineman Trent Brown on the COVID list. And due to contact tracing, they had to send the rest of their offensive line home today. Now, the coach there is John Gruden. And he says, hopefully they'll get guys back tomorrow or for Sunday. But he says he's not happy.
Well, no.
The guys sent home. So they will need their COVID tests from today to come back negative. And if they do, they can be at practice tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal.
And if they don't, boy, could they look like Dallas? What if they all have it? They could look like Dallas on Sunday night.
Realize that when you have a situation like what the Cowboys and the Eagles are facing and then potentially the Raiders if they've got a bunch of these, you know who goes into the game? Guys like me. I would play in that situation. And I can assure you that if you are a fan of the Raiders, you don't want me going in the game.
The Hot 5 is refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back and always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Football is coming to Central Oregon, and I mean pro football, bro. And the NFL is evolving, not only on fourth down, but on two-point conversions.
I just love that you just got done crapping all over the Rays offense, and particularly Brandon Lau. And he hits a home run.
This is how I do it.
That just warms my heart.
It's a reverse jinx.
Yes.
And by the way, let me say, too, that this Choi guy, he sucks.
Is there anyone that, well, a Rosarina, right?
Well, I'm doing this so he hits a home run.
I was going to say, is there anyone?
A Rosarina's great.
Now, Mike, look at his orange. Ah, damn it. I'm trying to get Mike to acknowledge the weird tang stain all over the Gosselin's arm.
I've actually been kind of happy with Mike Zunino's bat.
What?
Maybe that's because my expectations are so low. But
that's where you're at?
Well, that's how crappy their offense is. Zunino is like one of their better hitters. Think about that.
I think he's hitting like 140. He just occasionally hits a home run. They
all
do
right.
Have the hottest bat in baseball, by the way, in that lineup.
Yeah, Rosarena. He's good little player. although he's 0-1 tonight.
And 0-4 in the World Series.
Oh, God.
We'll get to those items coming up next on The Fam.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, let's do some football talk. Found a couple of articles that I wanted to present to you here. But first, a local football note of notable notation.
Okay. Potent potables.
Potent potables. I haven't heard that in a long time.
It was one of those Jeopardy sort of things.
Oh, God!
What?
Nothing.
Live watching.
That ball is deep to right field. It is high. It is far. It
is
caught.
I'll tell you a player I really do like, and I mean I really like him, is Corey Seager of your Dodgers.
You like Corey Seager?
Yeah, I think he is excellent.
I prefer the other Seager brother myself.
Kyle?
Said no one ever.
Corey Seager's having himself a postseason. Anyway, he just flew out at the wall. So still 1-0 my Rays over your Dodgers.
I wasn't certain what you were yelling about. Watching you hate watch the World Series is bizarre.
I've never hated a team I bet on more than the Rays.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just
Why don't you get it? They suck. God, they're terrible.
I guess.
Okay, where was I? Oh, this is really exciting. You're going to love this.
Okay.
The American West Football Conference has approved a new professional indoor football franchise for Central Oregon.
Okay, hold on. The American West what?
Football Conference.
What the hell is the American West Football Conference?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
The AWFC, bro.
What? Is that who?
The AWFC?
It will be located in Central Oregon. They are currently trying to do a deal with the Deschutes County Fair and Expo Center in Redmond, so they can play there. That's a 4,000-seat indoor arena.
Okay.
They want to play in 2021, and they will be called the Oregon High Desert Storm.
Aha! And I see their logo is a tornado.
Yeah.
Wait. Are there?
No, it's like a high desert. It's like a...
Yeah, why are there...
It's a dust devil.
Oh, okay. Right? All right. I guess.
That's a really long mascot name.
The Oregon High Desert Storm?
Yep.
A little bit. Well, so I have never heard of the AWFC.
Well,
and
who has?
And so I just did a quick Google.
Here are the Jackals playing the High Desert Storm today.
Would you care to take a guess of the number of teams in the AWFC?
Three. Four.
35.
Four. 35. Love that. 35.
Four.
Oh, there's only four?
There's four.
But they're going to be an expansion team.
No, the Oregon High Desert would make it four.
Ah.
You've got the Idaho Horsemen.
The Idaho Horsemen?
The Idahoers. You got the Oregon Desert, whatever the hell. The Wenatchee Valley Skyhawks and the Yakima Canines.
Ooh, Yakima got a team.
Wow.
I feel like Yakima has a team in all of these random, small, nothing leagues.
I totally agree with that.
I had no idea.
Why?
I didn't know that there was still an arena league. Like,
Not the arena league. It's the American West Football Conference.
Not to be confused. Thing. This is the American West Football Conference. Yeah.
It's a
trademark.
According to their website, it's a professional indoor football league.
Okay, so who plays? According to the release, the AWFC provides a platform for former collegiate athletes who have exhausted their collegiate eligibility and fell short of an NFL, CFL, XFL, JFL, YFL, TFL, XFLL, LABHFL opportunity.
Do you think they need a center?
Did you get all that?
I got all that. Can I go down and play for the Desert Storm, whatever the hell?
High Desert Storm. Suit. Get it right.
High Desert Storm. I'm looking through the rosters.
First
of the
mascot
three
with three names ever.
So is that a playoff of the Desert Storm Rumsfeld thing?
I guess. I don't know.
But because it's not a real getting desert, a little, it's a high desert. They gotta be regional.
Getting a little political here.
Are you really going back to like 1991?
Well, like, why else would they name it?
Let's cachet in on that. Like, what?
So the league started in 2019. It plans to return for 2021, but it's been dormy because of COVID.
Also because there's three teams.
I would also like to point out that I looked up the Wenatchee Valley Skyhawks. Because the first one, the Horsemen there from Idaho, they actually have a roster. I looked up the Skyhawks. They got seven guys. Seven. Now, I know indoor football is not played with 22, right, but I think you need more than seven guys.
Maybe they're...
Have you ever heard of seven-on-seven football, Suk?
Well, I think they've got two-way players.
I guess. I still don't
They're going on the cheap.
I still don't think that's enough.
Get guys who can play on both sides.
I was looking to see if I had seen...
Like Dion.
Anybody that I've ever heard of before, and the answer to
Peppers?
That, and that question is no.
Nope. Really? Not one name?
Not one name. But there's only three teams, and one of the teams has seven guys. No, I've never heard of any of these people. Yeah. I thought maybe there was like an old Washington State guy or, you know, a duck or something.
A Jason Sukanik somewhere.
A Jason Sukanik. I can assure you that I won't be playing at 41, and I would not have played at 21 either.
Well, hey, it's a good thing for Redmond.
No, it's not.
This is probably more for like the George Fox players and the...
This isn't good.
George Fox has football?
This isn't good for anybody.
I think they do. They put billboards up for it.
Yeah. I do see those.
Do they?
Yeah, there used to be one out here by the station.
Yes, this is good for no one. No one benefits from this.
So billboards really do work.
And I mean nobody.
Well, I mean, I didn't go play football for George Fox, but I knew it existed.
But you know it.
Yeah. They're playing some sort of barbaric game. Match them like this. Someone, I guarantee someone listening knows someone or played themselves at George Fox University, and I'm sure it's a fine...
Maybe someone listening has played in the AFWFNL NFLFF.
This guy says, I want to live in a football city. He's moving to Yakima.
Hell yeah.
Let's move to Redmond.
Yeah, I'd say go to Redmond before Yakima.
Yeah.
George Fox.
We now...
Into a tangent we go.
Rob is now going to explore the wonderful world of George Fox football.
So they just wrapped up their sixth campaign since returning from hiatus.
Oh.
And they were 5-5.
Oh.
5 wins, 5 losses, Jace.
Can I ask the question, what is George Fox, like, what is the mascot?
Yes, the George Fox.
Is it the George Fox Foxes?
Foxes, the Fleet Foxes.
The Foxy Foxes? What is their,
Isn't it like something weird like sea wolves or something?
What? Why would George Fox be
a billboard?
Why would they be the Sea Wolves? What?
I don't know.
Makes no sense.
They're the Bruins.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense either.
I'd rather they be the Sea Wolves.
That would be great if someone nowhere near any body of water was like, hey, we're the Sea Wolves.
Or right. George Fox is where? Newburgh, right? They're close-ish. Yeah, it's like, what, a 45-minute drive to the coast? They could be Sea Wolves.
The University of Anchorage, they're the Sea Wolves.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Why?
Are they near the sea?
It is Alaska. You're always near water.
Are you? What if you're right in the middle of it?
I still think you're near water. I don't know if you've been to Alaska. Lots of lakes, lots of rivers.
Well, right, but we said the ocean.
I have not been to Alaska. So I don't know. I did not know that. You just taught me something. I thought if Alaska is a huge state.
It is.
If you're right in the middle of it, I thought you'd be really far from water.
But, now, to be fair.
How dumb am I?
You did get Alaska.
Don't answer that.
You did get Alaska and Hawaii confused on a map once. That did happen.
No, I was just that. Well, I didn't really.
I think we have the drop.
No, we don't.
I believe that we do.
There's no drop for that. There's Joey Wendell. He's hitting 220. So that's really good.
Yeah.
Double Brandon Lau.
I just, you and your hatred of the Rays.
Are you looking at the map?
I'm just now pulled it up. Oh, that's Washington. Washington won it.
Hawaii?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at Alaska. Sorry.
You're looking at Alaska, my man.
Jesus. My bad.
You got to go one state over there, Chief.
Well, I was so fixated on the...
Oh, Rob.
Alaska, Hawaii. Yeah! Same difference.
It's a blonde moment.
Understand.
I have those from time to time. Okay. The NFL is evolving on fourth down and on two-point conversions. Remember how we used to talk about the NFL being so conservative and like Jeff Fisher-y?
Dude, the two-point conversions now are strange because they're happening in situations that they have to explain to you why someone's going for two.
That's right, and I love it. I love it. The coaches are following the analytics, and it's great.
As much as you hate the Rays lineup, you love this evolution of the NFL going for two.
We'll get to that next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, Chiefs, Bills the other day. You and I were watching that in here. And a scenario came up that I thought was interesting. So the Bills were losing 23-10. The Chiefs had just kicked a field goal, and the Bills were getting the ball back. This was in the fourth quarter. And, you know, it was like the last 10 minutes. And they were not stopping Kansas City.
No.
So the Bills then scored a touchdown. So it was 23-16. So they're still they're within seven. They elected to kick the extra point. But I asked you the question, hey, you're not stopping Kansas City. So the Chiefs are probably going to at least get three. You think it's reasonable if they get the ball one more time, Kansas City, you think it's reasonable that you can keep them out of the end zone. It's not reasonable that you can keep them out of field goal range.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the field goal ends the game. I mean, it puts us to nine and thanks for coming.
Yeah. So the field goal makes it 26-17 if you kick the extra point here. So if you give up a field goal, you're done because you're only getting the ball one more time. You can try an onside, but those are hard to get, right? So why not, if you're the Bills, try to go for two down 23-16, which sounds counterintuitive, but if you get it, it's 23-18 and you're still within an earshot or one score if the Chiefs kick the field goal.
Yeah.
If you don't get it and the Chiefs go down and kick the field goal, well, you're still down 9-10 anyway.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. And then if you score again and you go for two again, again, the odds are 50-50 on conversion rates of 2-point conversions. If you think that you're going to get two touchdowns and you're going to go for two both times, you're going to get at least one of the two. You make it up right there.
Absolutely.
Why didn't the Bills do that?
I don't know. I had not thought about that until you brought it up. And I actually thought for
once
you made a very valid and thought-provoking argument.
There's a first time for everything.
Yes. By the way, I saw that Jason Stark, because you were bitching about the Rays lineup,
mm-hmm.
that the 1-2 hitters in the Rays lineup are hitting a combined 107, mm-hmm. which is the worst 1-2 combo to ever lead off a World Series. Ever.
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 In all time.
In all time. It is the worst 1-2 average going into a World Series game of all time.
Didn't they just have a guy on third? What happened?
Yes.
Yeah, Manuel Margot got thrown out at home.
Yeah,
they had the infield in and he went on contact and Seager just threw him out.
Yeah, threw him out. It wasn't even close.
Like, not close at all.
No.
They just had Adames up there, that shortstop for the Rays.
Yeah.
You know what his postseason batting average is?
Is it 107?
Way better. 125.
Well.
And now they have the slugger Kiermaier, 231.
Hey, look at that. That's not too shabby, and swing and a miss.
And he strikes out. Okay, so anyway.
I was giving you credit for once for having a outside-the-box idea that was actually a good deal.
I don't need credit, Jason.
No,
I don't need credit.
You don't want that credit?
Okay, I don't seek credit. I just present. I present material on a daily basis, and you do with it what you wish.
The no-spin zone.
So on 2-point conversion. So I thought that was an interesting scenario for Buffalo. They actually just kicked the extra point, which I thought was kind of stupid. But McDermott, you know, it's I don't know. I think it would be hard as a head coach to do all the math so quickly when there's so much going on the sideline.
Well, now they got charts.
Right. So exactly. So I wonder what the chart said about that, although this factors in this particular game in the sense that you just didn't think you were going to keep the Chiefs off the board for that last drive. At any rate,
I wonder if McCarthy thought about that when he kicked that 58-yard field goal when he was down by 30 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, what was that?
Jackass. Really? You're kicking a field goal? Is that'll cut into that lead.
Well, anyway, NFL teams are going for 2-point conversions at a record-setting rate. The NFL is evolving. Here are the numbers. Never before have NFL teams gone for 2-point conversions as often as they have this season. The 58 attempts through 6 weeks are the most at this juncture of the season since the NFL adopted a 2-pointer in 1994. Of course, it was a big deal this last weekend. Romeo Crennel, very unconventional, went for two after scoring a touchdown to take a 7-point lead over Tennessee.
Yeah.
Of course, that backfired.
But that's the weird part.
It was the right move.
You're seeing more and more go for two, and it doesn't make any sense. And then the announcers are having to explain it and be like, well, it's a percentage point win probability, and they kind of explain it away. And I'm, you know, and then once they do it, you're like, oh, I guess that makes sense. But it's just, it's happening at very odd moments with strange scores.
And so they're hitting at about 50%. The conversion rate on two pointers from the previous 20 seasons combined was 47%.
Okay, so it's not like it's going through the roof. People are just coming around to the idea that analytics, you know, are saying, hey, go for two here.
Well, again, the classic example is, and Bill O'Brien, to his credit, has done this. I think a lot of, actually, I think Bill Belichick was the first one to do this, and he did this a long time ago. And you haven't seen it much, but I think now it's sort of common knowledge. Like you say, it's on those charts that those, you know, those guys have.
Yeah.
But it is that when you are down when you're down 14, the idea is go for two, both scores.
Yeah.
Which sounds, you know, you'd normally say, well, we're down 14. We just need two touchdowns and two extra points to tie.
Yeah.
But if you go for two both times, assuming that you get, you know, you may not get two scores, but the idea is you're going to score twice.
And you're going to get one of them.
And you're going to, by the odds, you're going to at least get one of the two. If you get one of the two, you're right back to square one, like you kick two extra points. But if you get both of them,
it changes.
You
everything.
Now win the game instead of force overtime.
Yeah, I saw that in that scenario, like it bumps your win probability up like 3 or 4%, which may not seem like a ton, but I guess every little bit helps, right? And so I think that's what people are going off of, is they're saying, hey, win probability wise, this gives you a better chance. So I love the fact. I think you're seeing teams do this more on fourth down as well.
Yep.
Right?
I've got those numbers too.
Yeah.
So, you want those numbers?
I mean, finally, the NFL is coming around to the idea of, just because it's fourth and one, and if, oh, I don't get this, I'm going to get killed for going for it, the numbers say go for it. Especially in the middle of the field. That used to drive me insane.
Oh, I know. Fisher would punt at the 50-yard line.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
Field goal or field position.
Yeah.
Teams have been going for it and converting on fourth down at an unprecedented rate this season in the NFL. This says, in all, teams have gone for it on fourth down 188 times, and they have converted 108. That is the most through 5 weeks. Now, this is a week old, but that's the most through 5 weeks since at least 1991. And the conversion rate of 57.4% is second highest in that span to only 2012, where it was 58.7.
Well, I love the fact that this is occurring. The NFL, more than anything, I think has gotten a real shot in the arm the last handful of years to bring it kind of out of the dark ages.
Well, the latest example of this would have been the Vikings in Seattle and that last play down by the goal line.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of people, I can't even believe it was a debate to kick a field goal there.
Yeah.
No, you go for it. You increase your chances of winning by going for it. You only need inches. The game is over if you get inches. That's it.
Yeah.
Simple decision.
And it didn't work.
This one happened not to work, but you still had a chance keep them out of the end zone.
And then even if you don't, you still make them go the rest of the way. But what everyone was upset about was, right, because if they kicked it, it would have gone to 8 and you wouldn't have been able to lose the game in regulation.
That's right.
But
come on.
Again, what's the win probability, or what is the conversion rate on fourth and inches? And you could say the same thing about New England, right? The Cam Newton play. Now, that changed it because it was at the end of the game and it didn't matter. But even if it wasn't, Cam Newton had converted in his career on fourth and one. It was something ridiculous, like 88% of the time. You had a 12% chance over Cam Newton's career that didn't work. Of course you go for it. And I love the fact that the NFL is becoming more statistical oriented, because it doesn't feel like for a long time the NFL was the guy in the corner that being like, analytics nerds. I'm going to let some nerd tell me how to run my team.
It was like the scouts in Moneyball.
Yes.
If you remember, the old scouts in Moneyball got all bristly about analytics.
Oh, this guy's a 5-tool player.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Coaches are changing and evolving, and that's good because it makes for a more exciting league.
Yes. You guys see guys taking more chances, and we've also seen, you know, people embrace the college offenses and the RPOs and all this sorts of stuff. And
well, there's so much offense now that it feels like, I don't know about you, but back in the day when we were growing up, it didn't feel like fourth and two or fourth and three was a gimme, right? Yeah. But now it kind of, with some teams, it kind of does. Like when the Chiefs are fourth and two, you're like, oh man, well, you ain't stopping them.
That last drive, Buffalo and Kansas City, right? When Buffalo needed to get a stop, they had Kansas City 3rd and 12, 3rd and 6. And I just saw this. I was going through and looking at it like 2 days ago. It was 3rd and 12, 3rd and 6. And there was another 3rd and medium. And they didn't get off the field once. Right. And none of those things.
Did they go for it on fourth down every time?
No. They needed to get a stop to get the ball back, to go down and have a chance to win the game against Kansas City. And Kansas City was just trying to bleed the clock out. And they had Kansas City on that drive on three, third and mediums to third and long, and they couldn't get off the field once.
Well, but they can get, but see, what I'm saying is I think I remember them getting a stop once or twice, but Kansas City gained enough yardage that Andy Reid's just like, well, we'll just go for it.
But it's just
because we only need to gain three.
But it, back in the, you know, before, you know, we go back a handful of years, I'm with you in that the idea was, oh, we just got to get a stop here and we get the ball back. And it just isn't the case anymore. I never feel confident with that. Or, oh, they've got 90 yards to go and there's a minute and a half left and they have no timeouts. I don't feel, I'm fine. I'd rather have the lead. My dad used to always say that. He said, I'd rather have the lead than have the ball. And I'm not so certain that that's the case anymore in the NFL.
I agree with you.
If your team has the lead, but the other team has a minute left and they've got 75 yards to go, you feel awful. You're like, oh, they're at least going to get two cracks at the end.
Well, especially if it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
It matters who you're. If it's Drew Locke, Baker Mayfield,
Come
on.
Well, like on that third and down, the third and 12 play, Mahomes didn't even throw for it. He ran for it. It's third and 12, and he scooted his way to a first down, and they just ran out the clock.
Do you guys want bonus sports talk?
Bonus?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Good, because you're getting it next.
It's not going to bleed into the club, though.
It is 5:47 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the club is coming up next. We will kick it off with the scene from Borat 2 that contains compromised Rudy Giuliani.
They're claiming fake news.
Okay, but isn't it a movie that's actually going to come out?
Fake news!
All right.
What you saw was not what you saw.
Fake news! He's just tucking his shirt in. By the way, I also saw this because...
That is what he said, by the way.
He did. He did say that.
Jesus.
We were joking about the fact that the Rays, they're 1-2 hitters, because you hate the Rays now.
Mm-hmm. Now, make no mistake, I do hate them.
Yeah.
But I do have a Rays ticket to win the World Series, so I am rooting for them, but
yet,
I hate them.
And yeah, you hate them.
Yes. They're hard to watch.
So they had the worst 1-2 punch, hitting a combined 107 in Major League World Series history.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Dodgers pulled Gosman after... one and a third inning, and he only given up one run. They said you have to go back to 1947 to find someone that had a shorter start in a World Series that only gave up one run or less.
Well, wasn't that kind of the plan?
Yeah.
Like Gonsolin started in the NLCS and he went two innings.
It's a bullpen game.
Yeah, they're not. They don't have him as a true starter.
Yeah.
They were just saying that's kind of the.
Although he can go, I think one game he went four.
Yeah, he can go longer. They're just saying that this is.
Just unusual.
This is just baseball. You know, it's.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they play back-to-back days now, and back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they get a day off tomorrow.
Yeah, they're doing, what, three or...
Three, four, five is Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, so they're actually doing it like a real World Series then.
They are now.
Yeah, yeah. There'll be a travel day. Well, yeah. I guess not a travel day, but a
day off a day in between off. The quote-unquote home
party
games.
Yeah. With their hot Instagram model girlfriends.
Burn it down. Now, are people allowed in the bubble?
Yeah. Oh, wait. It's not a bubble. They have fans at the game. Yeah. There's 11,000 fans in there.
Oh, that's
right. They sold out.
Yeah, but the teams are in a bubble. I didn't know what the, you know, like the family groupie, you know, that sort of policy
right.
was.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Any hoosies. This was supposed to be bonus sports.
I just gave you bonus sports. I had hot World Series facts. What more bonus can you get?
All right. God.
Don't
Why are you yelling at me?
Don't come at me with bonus. I'll fire that right back.
Do you like or hate the new opener/bullpen game strategy?
Don't mind it. I see why they do it. Can I be indifferent about it?
You are allowed to be whatever
you
want,
I like watching
sir.
Good pitchers.
Now, I will say that I do like the three pitching rule because it tries to speed up the game. The three hitters. Yeah. Dude, sometimes the walk strikeout games and the pitching changes, some of that can just be punishingly long. Where you're watching some of these and you're like, you're into it, it's the postseason, but you're like, my God, can we please speed this up? We're in the sixth inning, you know, you got 4 hours to go.
Yeah, I think these games are going a little faster this year, it feels like. I mean, I just know when the Royals were in it.
I'm not sure they're going that much
they're
faster.
They're not. I haven't seen the stats
well,
on
it. I don't know the stats either, but just from watching it, it feels like the same length playoff games. I mean, there's a lot of long at bats and there's walks and there's hemming and hawing and you know, it's baseball.
The Rays had more strikeouts in that series against the Astros than any team in any series in postseason history.
The Rays strike out pretty fast. They do us a courtesy.
Well, it's just, and then now 50% of the runs or more are being scored by home run. Look, it's either a strikeout or a home run. But
well, the Rays, you said 50%. The Rays are actually 72% of their runs in the postseason have come on home runs.
Well, as a total in the playoffs so far, I think it's like 55% of all runs have come on home runs.
Stat bombs, bitches.
Yeah.
We just volleyed.
Bonus.
We just had a rally of stats.
Just lubed and
that is
there
bonus.
You go.
All right.
What was your bonus?
Oh, I didn't have any.
Oh.
I was going to talk about ballot tracks.
Oh, okay.
You know, the thing.
That's
in,
not sports.
Yeah, who cares?
Okay.
We're close enough to the club. But we can do that later. Rudy Giuliani.
And I got Phil Collins news.
Is in the news. Yeah, I saw that.
Denver
that,
airport conspiracy theories.
Yep, we've got that. I kept that.
Suddenly a lot to get. Yeah, Phil Collins is facing an occupation.
Yeah, from his ex.
Yeah.
Crazy ex.
And the new husband.
All right, we'll get to all these items coming up. It's the club next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.